They said, walk, you're free. Better not preach, but you're free to go. And notice what happens if you have your Bible with you. Acts chapter 5 and verse 41, it says, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. Rejoicing. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They were partying. They were celebrating. They were saying, did you check that out, man, when he slugged me in the jaw? That was so cool, man, that God would allow that to happen to me for his name's sake, man. And the other guy is like, huh, that was nothing, man. When they knocked me down, the other guy came and kicked me in the ribs. Did you see that? They were rejoicing. Well, maybe not quite that way. But they were... They were rejoicing that they were counted worthy. They aspired to this. Now, some people, when they witness, they're just obnoxious. They act like jerks. And so when people retaliate against them, they're like, oh, man, I was getting persecuted. No, you weren't. You were just acting like a jerk. But when you're not acting like a jerk, when you're just standing for the truth and you're standing for Christ and persecution comes, that is a privilege, that is an honor that God would allow you to suffer for the sake of his name. And it says in verse 42, and daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Imagine, they get arrested, they get beaten, they get threatened, they get thrown out. And what's the first thing they do? Go back in the temple and start preaching. And the whole time they are rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer beatings and shame for the name of Jesus Christ. That is an unstoppable army. That's the church God would love to have here in Queenstown and in Centerville and on the Western Shore and all over this world. That knows that they ought to obey God rather than men. That count on God for his Holy Spirit to give them courage and boldness. And when they are threatened and beaten, they go right back out and proclaim the truth of the gospel. And stand for Jesus Christ. They rejoiced. So principle number three, consider persecution for obedience as an honor and a privilege. Now, I'm not going to lie to you and be all hyper-spiritual and say, well, you know, it doesn't hurt when your friends or your loved ones reject you because of Christ. Yes. Ouch. Yeah, it does. And I'm not going to say to you it doesn't hurt when you miss a promotion or some increase or some kind of recognition because you took a stand for Christ and it ruffled somebody's feathers and they thought they were going to get even by pushing you down. Yes, it does hurt. Absolutely, it hurts. I'm not going to lie about that. But in the big picture, as that wound starts to wear off, and if you give that to God and say, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In the big picture, God will honor your faith. And he, just like he did to Job, he will multiply abundance back to you in your life and in your heart and in your spirit. Praise God. We need to realize, we need to know that it is a privilege and an honor. When someone gives us a weird look because we're standing for Christ, rather than getting all indignant about that or questioning whether we ought to do that again, we ought to say, oh, God, thank you. I just want to pray for them. Lord, bless them. I don't hold it against them, but thank you that you would count me worthy of that. You know why? I mean, I struggled with this passage before. What do they mean, worthy? What do they mean, worthy? You mean to tell me that, you know, only the best Christians get persecuted? I mean, what does this mean? I don't know, John. What does it mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. That's what I'm here for. Anyone can be a Christian when it's popular to be a Christian. That's why people are religious without necessarily being a Christian, because it's very popular to be, oh, I love this word, spiritual. Oh, it's so spiritual. Yes, we're all children of God. We're all going to heaven. You know? We're all just nice people, and we all ought to just get along. And I'm spiritual. Oh, yeah, people love that. Anybody can be a Christian when it's popular to be a Christian, or when they makes them friends that maybe they never had. Maybe, you know, I've just
never had any friends, and I joined a church, and all of a sudden I've got all these friends. It's like, cool, man, I'll be a Christian. Yeah, life has never been so good. And they start helping me out financially. They start putting, you know, bags of clothes and groceries in my car and find an envelope with my name, and there's money in it to help with the electric bill. Yeah, that's easy to be a Christian. And I come in, and they're all shouting and carrying on. It's such a party to be a Christian. Anybody can be a Christian under those circumstances. As Laura was saying a few weeks ago, you know, yes, Sunday, man, my hunger scale is 10. You know, it's Wednesday. That's like, you know, after I've been beat up for 3 days by life circumstances, you know. But in that moment of victory and shouting, as they said at the DeGarmo and Key concert that I went to, the last concert I went to, he said, anybody can be a Christian on Sunday morning when it's all, you know, fun and games. When people get compliments and help in society. But where the rubber meets the road is, will you stand for Christ when it costs you something to stand for Christ? Will you stand for Christ when it costs you something big? Something that really means something to you. Someone you really care about does not want you to conform to Christ. Who can tell me what the oldest book of the Bible is? Gene. Ooh, give that girl. Who else said it? Ty. Give these guys a round of applause. Yes. Oldest book of the Bible, very good, is Job. It wasn't written before the creation of the universe, but Genesis was written about the creation of the universe later on after Job. Job is the oldest written manuscript in the Bible. So this is old stuff. This has been this way from the beginning. And in the book of Job, this is so interesting. Satan tells God that the only reason Job worships him is because God blesses him so much. He says, you are his sugar daddy. That's the only reason he worships you. You're trying to tell me that he's righteous, he's all this. Have you considered my servant Job? If you didn't bless his socks off coming and going, he would curse you to your face. Man, I get chills just saying that. Man, I can't imagine the audacity of Satan to say this to God. But you know, Satan's been around a long time. He was the chief angel. He was in charge of worship originally. So he's been in the presence of God. And he charges God. And God, you know, God knew that. God set him up, man. He said, come here, Satan. You ever check out my servant Job? And he's looking at the other angels like, check this out. You know, I know what he's going to say. Satan says Job only serves you because you bless him so much, but you make it cost him something and he'll curse you to your face. God says, I'll take that bet. Thank you very much. Job didn't know. Job's just, you know, he's just fat and happy. Here it is, Tuesday. Okay, you know, let's go to the market. He has no idea what's going on up here. He never does find out. Until he gets to heaven, maybe, and reads the Bible. It's like, oh, wow, Book of Job. I know that guy. And even though God allows Job to suffer, and even though Job is shaken by that and questions God and pleads with him, he remains faithful. He never rebels. He never curses God. His wife told him, curse God and die. Just end it all. And he's like, no, I won't do it. I don't understand, but I won't do it. He remains faithful. In fact, later on, he even repents of his lack of faith. And you know what that says? That means that's the testimony God is looking for. Because it flies in the face of what Satan says to God. Satan says to God, the only reason those people worship you, you're not worthy of worship. The only reason they do it is because you bless them. And God says, oh yeah? Go ahead. Have at it. Preserve his life. But take what you will, and I'll show you. I'll show you faithfulness. And so when you stand in that moment, it might cost you something to stand for Christ. Know this, that just as all heaven was watching what Job would do in that moment, hanging on every word of that conversation that goes on for somewhere around 40 to 60 chapters. All of heaven is watching you in your moment of decision. Know this, that this is not the only world. You are surrounded by a host of witnesses, Scripture says. Angels and probably saints alike watch in that valley of decision and wonder, will he stand for God?
and give our God the glory? Can we rejoice? And they are, you can believe they're cheering, just like when you go home today and watch football, and I hope you're cheering for the right team, unlike me, you know, in January. And you're leaping off the couch like Mark does. I love to watch Mark watch the Super Bowl. You leap off the couch and you cheer and you're going, go, 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 go. Heaven is doing that because you are standing for the God in whose presence they stand. And as they stand there and worship Him and they see you in that valley of decision, they're like, yes, stand for Christ. Make that statement. Bear that witness. Hold to that integrity and do that because you are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And it gives glory to God every time you obey Him. And it advances His kingdom in the world. And God promises you rewards if you suffer for His name. It is an honor and a privilege. And it is a golden opportunity. Praise God. Our obedience that causes us to suffer for Christ is priceless because it demonstrates that our faith is real. If Satan says the only reason you ever proclaimed Jesus was because you hoped to get a blessing out of it, you can say, well, no, not actually. That time when my family made fun of me, that time it cost me that promotion, that time that I had to do this, that, or the other thing, and people called me a fool and laughed at me, or that time that I didn't go out and spend all that money because I knew God wanted me to exercise self-control, or the time that I didn't do this or that because I knew it wasn't of the Holy Spirit. And even though I really wanted to do this or that, I did that because I have faith in Christ and I trust Him with my life. And even if I can't have what my flesh craves, I know that He is faithful to fulfill my heart's desire and make me whole. It shows your faith is real when it costs you something. Praise God. So what should we do? Luke chapter 6. I'll close it with this. The words of our Lord Jesus. He said, blessed are you. Raise your hand and say, me. Blessed is me.
Me.
Me. Thank you. Amen. Blessed are you, that's me, when men hate you. Blessed are you when men hate you. Blessed are you when men hate you. When they exclude you. No, you didn't get the invitation because they thought you'd be a party poop. God forbid. Blessed are you. When you didn't get the phone call. Blessed are you when you didn't get the promotion. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you, when they revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Verse 23, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Let those words sink into your soul and hear what your Lord is saying to you. He's not saying, well, you know, that's actually pretty good stuff. You know, you ought to be happy. You know, don't worry, be happy. He's saying, rejoice! He's saying, leap for joy! Jump up and down and dance and celebrate! Rejoice in that day, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. This is not for nothing. God sees and He is faithful and He will reward you. He will reward you. Jesus said, jump up and down for joy. For the honor and the privilege of being hated by men for the sake of His name. For in like manner, their fathers did it to the prophets. In other words, you're in good company, brother. You're standing in the shoes of Isaiah, man. You're standing in the company of Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel. You're standing in God's hall of fame. Your name is written in the book of life, and it's on display for all of heaven to see. This one belongs to me because he stood when it cost him something. Rejoice, jump up and down. I ought to make you guys just stand up in your seat and jump up and down just to lay a hold of this scripture, but I'm not going to go there. I'll wait till Anthony gets baptized. Then we can jump up and down. Amen? Even Peter said, 1 Peter 4:14, he says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. Blessed are you. Blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. I don't know about you, but I want the Spirit of glory resting upon me. I want that thing all over me. I want it making my hair tingle and my feet dance and my heart palpate and my arms just waving in the air because I'm filled with the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God. Praise God. Peter says, blessed are you when you reproach, for the Spirit of glory rests upon you. How many people want the Spirit of glory resting upon them? Oh, man. Yes, sir. Give me some glory, man. That's what I'm here for. That's why I came today. After all, it's not Friday. It's not Saturday. It's what?
Sunday.
Yes, sir. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.